Good morning and welcome to Simply Finance. It's Saturday, March 30th. On today's show, Braun Campaign is fined for campaign finance violations, and AZZ Inc. announces CFO's retirement and names a new chief financial officer. Plus, we'll discuss if the party is over for China's finance sector with new regulations and mandates. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Finance. We start off with a significant development this week, as the Federal Election Commission has imposed a hefty fine on U.S. Senator Mike Braun's campaign committee for finance violations dating back to 2018. The fine, amounting to $159,000, is the second largest ever imposed on a senatorial campaign. Here to delve into the details is our correspondent Celeste. Can you tell us more about these violations?
Certainly, David. The agreement states that Mike Braun for Indiana failed to correctly disclose loan balances, terms, dates, repayment amounts, and other information for transactions totaling $11.5 million. These transactions involved 3 bank loans, 13 lines of credit, and 13 candidate loans. The activity in question occurred from July 2017 through December 2018.
Who does the campaign committee hold responsible for these reporting errors?
The committee contends that its former treasurer, Travis Kabrick, was responsible for these reporting errors. They argue that Kabrick had access to all relevant information and documents from the committee to properly report these loans. However, the errors were made in how they were reported on the committee's campaign finance reports. The committee maintains that these reporting errors were technical in nature.
What has been the response from Braun's campaign to this fine?
Josh Kelly, a senior advisor for Braun for Indiana, has stated that the agreement makes it clear that the former treasurer was responsible for the errors. He emphasized that all loans were legal and proper, and all details were made public throughout the campaign. The reporting errors by Mr. Kabrick were technical in nature. Kelly also suggested that the penalty should be paid for by Mr. Kabrick's third-party compliance team, who were responsible for the reporting errors.
What measures is the campaign taking to prevent such errors in the future?
Thomas Datwiller, the current treasurer for Mike Braun for Indiana, has released a statement saying that despite having full access to all necessary information and documents, Mr. Kabrick's reporting on the committee's campaign finance reports was technically flawed. However, he assured that the underlying bank loans were legally and properly disclosed. Going forward, the campaign is committed to ensuring full compliance and transparency in all future financial reporting.
Thanks for the insight, Celeste. Now, shifting gears to corporate news, AZZ Inc., the Fort Worth-based provider of hot-dip galvanizing and coil coating solutions in North America, has announced that its CFO, Philip Schlom, will retire once his current agreement ends on November 4th. Jason Crawford, SVP of Finance of AZZ Precoat Metals, is set to transition into the role of CFO of AZ Inc. Here to discuss this further is our correspondent Bella. Can you tell us more about this transition?
Certainly, David. Philip Schlom has been with AZZ Inc. for 4 years, during which he has strengthened various functions within the company, including accounting, finance, compliance, controls, and audit. His retirement is not imminent, but the company is already preparing for a smooth transition. Jason Crawford, who will be stepping into Schlom's shoes, has a strong track record with over 20 years of experience in senior-level accounting and finance leadership positions.
What can you tell us about Jason Crawford's background and his fit for this role?
Jason Crawford has had a long and successful career in finance. Prior to his current role, he served as SVP of Finance at Sequa Corp from 2020 to 2022 and SVP of Finance at Precoat Metals from 2012 to 2020. He also held numerous leadership roles within finance at Boston Scientific from 2006 to 2012. Before 2006, Crawford held various accounting and leadership roles at CTS Corp. His broad expertise in both domestic and international companies across a wide variety of industries makes him a strong fit for the CFO role at AZZ Inc.
What does this transition mean for AZZ Inc.?
CEO Tom Ferguson has expressed confidence in the company's next person up culture, which ensures continuity in many of its key positions. Crawford's experience, success in mergers and acquisitions will be valuable to AZZ Inc. as it continues to grow and evolve.
Thanks for the insights, Bella. Now, let's shift our focus to China's finance industry, which is undergoing a significant shift. The era of big bonuses and lavish lifestyles for those in the sector seems to be coming to an end, as the government calls for banks to abandon a Western-style ethos and align with broader economic priorities. Here to discuss this further is our correspondent, Abby. Can you tell us more about these new regulations and their impact on the industry?
Certainly, David. The finance industry was once seen as China's profit machine, with bankers enjoying high salaries and luxurious lifestyles. However, new regulations have led to pay cuts, increased stress over meeting regulatory targets, and a general decrease in income. This is part of a broader shift in China's financial landscape, with the government aiming to align the sector more closely with national economic priorities.
So, what does this mean for the banks themselves?
Well, banks are being urged to move away from the pursuit of profit and instead focus on supporting the broader economy. This includes dedicating more resources to sectors such as technology and small and medium-sized businesses. The government is also encouraging banks to uphold principles of honesty and trustworthiness, and to avoid seeking quick profits at the expense of long-term stability.
And how are these changes being received within the industry?
The response has been mixed. Some executives of state-owned financial institutions have indicated they are fully on board with these changes. However, others have warned that this top-down approach could stifle competition and innovation. There are also concerns about the impact on profitability and the potential implications for shareholders, including those from overseas.
What about the impact on China's economy as a whole?
The changes in the financial sector could have broader implications for China's investment prospects. Banking stocks account for about one-tenth of the country's A-share market capitalization. However, some analysts argue that these changes are necessary for the sake of the economy. They believe that once the Chinese economy is back on a solid footing, banks will also be well-positioned to benefit.
Thanks for that report, Abby, on the significant shift in China's financial landscape. Speaking of significant shifts, let's move to the story of Ross Stripling, a promising baseball prospect who a decade ago was sidelined by Tommy John elbow surgery, unsure if his career would survive. Today, he's not only a successful player, but also a licensed money manager. James, our correspondent for Simply Finance, is here to share more about Stripling's journey. Can you tell us how Stripling got into personal finance?
Certainly, David. Stripling, who is now 34, was a promising prospect for the Los Angeles Dodgers a decade ago. However, during his recovery from surgery, he started considering a backup plan, working in personal finance. Stripling, a Texas A&M graduate with a degree in business finance, had always been interested in finance, a passion he inherited from his grandfathers who were active stock market investors.
So how did he transition from an interest in finance to becoming a licensed money manager?
During his recovery in 2014, Stripling started working towards securing his financial licenses. He was introduced to a financial advisor in Houston by his grandfather. The advisor suggested that Stripling get licensed, which involved passing the Series 7 and Series 66 exams. The idea was for Stripling to build a network of potential clients, regardless of how his baseball career panned out.
And how has he managed to balance his baseball career with his work in finance?
Stripling, who is currently with the Oakland A's, has managed to balance both careers quite well. Since his debut in 2016, he has worked with a variety of people and still actively manages 11 accounts. He has earned nearly $36 million in his baseball career and is the A's top-earning player.
It's interesting that he's taken this path, given the financial struggles many professional athletes face after retirement.
Indeed, David. A report from Sports Illustrated revealed that a significant number of former NFL and NBA players face financial stress or bankruptcy within a few years of retirement. Stripling believes that baseball players are generally good with money, with those receiving large signing bonuses often seeking professional advice right away. he has used his financial skills to guide many of his teammates, emphasizing the importance of financial literacy given the relatively short careers of most athletes.
James, your insights into that unique and inspiring journey were much appreciated. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Finance. We'll see you back here tomorrow.